It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
It is a drive home, Rico Bronya. It was a delayed drive home, Rico Bronya, because little did I know. Oh, I guess the Mets didn't promote it. Maybe they hit it. Fireworks night. And once my man Jet realized it was fireworks night, since we didn't see any fireworks from the limp, I'll just say it, dick Met offense, we figured, let's watch some fireworks boom into the sky. So we are now leaving Citi Field as the Mets lose to the New York Yankees by a final score of 5-2. And I had the pleasure, as I was leaving Citi Field, with plenty of people that stayed for fireworks, a lot of Met fans, certainly a lot of Yankee fans. We'll get into the crowd in a few minutes. But I had the fortunate opportunity to let everybody know that Clay Holmes is basically done. In what was a stunning twist to a horrific night at Citi Field, we found out that Clay Holmes has a fractured fibula. And I got to tell you, I am stunned by this. Now, in fairness, the comebacker that was hit off of Clay Holmes off of the bat of Spencer Jones, me and Jet spent waiting online to go to the bathroom. So we never saw the fibula break, which is probably why I was so stunned to hear that he had one, because I was like, where was there an opportunity for this man to fracture his fibula? Like, when was that happening? But we sat in very unique seats today. First row in left center field, very similar to where Juan Soto hit his solo shot, the Juan Soto specialist, we like to call it, the Juan Solo. So in the bottom of the fourth inning, I went to go to the bathroom. And when you're not sitting, you know, with the Piazza Club behind you, the bathroom waits, as many as you know, take a while. So I didn't even see it. And I got to be honest with you, I'm still kind of shaken by it, stunned by it. Number one, Clay Holmes showed a lot of toughness because he gets hit by this line drive, by this comebacker off the bat of Spencer Jones, and stays in the game. And not only stays in the game, but he completes that fourth inning and goes out for the fifth inning, which leads to like a million questions. By the way, I am not moving. I'm sitting here in the parking lot of Citi Field. But it was all worth it. Wasn't the fireworks worth it, Jet?
Yeah.
So we're all good. It's a Friday night. Where are we rushing towards? He showed an immense amount of toughness staying in the game. I do wonder, like, do the trainers do anything? Like, when there's a comebacker off of Clay's leg, right, or tibula, whatever that is, I'm going to have to Google to get more information on what a tibula is. And obviously they check him out, and Clay says he's okay, and you're going to trust the athlete on the mound. Do you not see anything in his windup, anything in his delivery, anything, even in between innings, where you think maybe something is off, maybe something is wrong? So I am still kind of stunned by it. Like, I'm sitting there when this game is over and obviously annoyed, and we'll get into what happened, all kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, I see the text message in the Mets text chain from Mike Puma that he's got a fractured fibula. And it's like, how the hell did that happen? And so there's a lot of ramifications to this. Obviously, it's a huge blow to the Met rotation. It's a huge blow to Clay Holmes, who was having a really good season until he basically crapped the bed with two outs and nobody on in the third inning and allowed the Yankees to score three runs. By the way, I'm stopped in the Met parking lot because there was some kind of police situation. Right now, there's like four police cars driving past us. We saw it as we were leaving Citi Field, and even Jed asked me, he's like, what do you think it is? And I have no idea. I assume like a medical situation. But I don't know. All I know is now the police cars are leaving. Maybe they are carrying the dead body known as the Mets season. You like that one, Jet, right? He's like, yeah. He's even laughing at it. Yeah, the carcass of the Mets season is going out with these police cars. And luckily, we can leave. But it is horrible news for Clay Holmes. Obviously, the guy was having a great year until he crapped the bed in the fourth inning against the Yankees. It's horrible news for the Mets because Clay Holmes, like, legitimate, thank you, National League Cy Young candidate. And who knows? One security saying don't go. Another security guy saying go. I don't know what I'm supposed. Oh, now I'm going. Okay, thank you. I mean, Jesus Christ. What do you? jersey I just saw. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. Anyhow, am I not on now? Like, I'm looking over at the screen. I'm not even on. Is that true, Hoff? Hey, Pete, am I not on the Rico anymore? Is there a problem?
No, you're back.
Well, let me light and see if we're still doing this, Rico Bronya, because
video
it
off.
Appears like I'm not there. So I don't know what the hell happened.
Turn your video
Hello?
Back on.
One, two, three.
There you go.
Rico Bronya. All right, I guess I'll keep talking because I have no idea if it's working or not. But I don't know. Should I keep talking? Feels like I'm wasting time if I'm talking and I'm not even on the Rico. Anyhow, should I just keep going, Jet? Should I act like we're on? All right, I'm going to act like we're on. So anyhow, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. So Clay Holmes fractured his fibula. I mean, Jesus Christ. How does that even happen? Like, a line drive goes off of his body. He stays in the game for another inning and a half. And now he's got a fractured fibula. My gut is his toughness. And you got to commend him that he stayed in the game. Like, I guess the guile and the want was able to keep him in the game. For him, it's a big blow for the Mets. And I was thinking about this as I was leaving the building. But the fact that Clay Holmes has an opt-out and he signed this starting pitcher, he's probably going to opt out. Like, there's a chance that we've seen the last of Clay Holmes ever pitching as a New York Met. That's entirely possible, which is kind of depressing considering how well he's pitched. Because if he doesn't pitch again this season, and I know that's a crazy thought to have, but it's certainly possible when you figure it's a fractured fibula and he is going to opt out the way you would think he would opt out, because he's going to be worth so much money in free agency. I think enough teams would see the way he pitched over the last couple of weeks and months and actually say to themselves, wow, I think Clay Holmes can do this. And they wouldn't use this injury as a reason to not pay him. There's a chance Clay Holmes doesn't pitch for the Mets again. I mean, there's a chance Clay Holmes is getting a big contract from somewhere else. Some team is willing to give him a long-term contract that God knows David Stearns wouldn't give him. And, I mean, that's on the table, which is kind of nuts to think about. And then, obviously, the other aspect is if this season is really, you know, over, which it feels like it is. It's felt that way for a while, despite the three-game sweep on Detroit, that this is not going to be a team that's going to go on some kind of big run. If that's the case, Clay Holmes could have been somebody they did well at the trade deadline in getting prospects for. Like, they could have done well for him. And that's out the window, too. So there's a lot of negative aspects of this Clay Holmes injury, besides the fact that it hurts the team right now, besides the fact that it sucks for the player, which it does. It's also just horrible on those other levels, the trade deadline, the fact that he could opt out and be on a different team next year, just all the way around it, it sucks for Clay Holmes. Now, as far as this game is concerned, I want to give Cam Schlittler a lot of credit. Cam Schlittler has pitched like one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, and he's been doing it all year long. So I don't want to be what some fans want to be, which is to dismiss Schlittler's performance because he was facing the Mets, who have one of the worst offenses in baseball, a Met offense that's made many mediocre pitchers look good over the last few months. Like, I don't want to do that because Cam has pitched so well this season, but they had no chance against them. I mean, it was unbelievable. Like, Brett Beatty had that really good at-bat, I guess it was in the third or the second, when he singled to right field and he had a 9-pitch at-bat. And then I think it was Beatty later in the game who drew the walk. But outside of that, I mean, Cam Schlittler was doing whatever he wanted. I thought he made Juan Soto his little doggy, striking him out a couple of times before he finally gave up the home run to Juan, the solo shot that gave us a glimmer of hope. But he was brilliant. I mean, the only positive was they were able to finally get him out of the game in the seventh inning. And this Met offense gave us the tease. They gave us that little opportunity in the seventh when A.J. Ewing came up. And after the wild pitch, I mean, the Mets were a base hit away from making it a one-run game. And that was the hope, that if A.J. Ewing could give us a little bit of a moment and come up with a big base hit, we could have had a baseball game. Not that the Mets were ever going to come back and win. God knows that doesn't really happen, especially late in games. If they're going to come back, as we saw in Detroit, it's going to happen early in games. It's not going to happen necessarily late in games. But that was like the offensive opportunity. I mean, that was pretty much it. And unfortunately for A.J. Ewing, who had a great series against Detroit, he did not come up big in that spot, hit that fly ball to right field. But overall, it's just, it's bad offense. And I'm happy that they swept Detroit, as we talked about on the last Rico. There are reasons to have glimmers of hope. But at the end of the day, this is still a very bad offense. And one guy that I'm no longer going to continue to be patient on and say, oh, don't worry, the resume is the resume, is Bo Bichette. I mean, Bo Bichette looks awful every single time he's out there. His at-bat quality stinks. And I've told this story before. I'll never forget Bob Murphy always saying about Bernard Gilkey when he was coming off a career year, don't worry, don't worry. Look at the back of the baseball card. Don't worry, don't worry. And Bernard Gilkey never repeated what he did in 1996. And eventually you say, stop telling me about the back of the baseball card. Maybe the guy's having a bad season. And with Bo Bichette, and I don't know if it's the pressure of the money he's making, the opt-out possibility. I don't know if he's injured. Maybe he's playing hurt. God knows. It doesn't even matter, by the way. Like, you could give me that excuse all day. I mean, injuries are a part of baseball. Like, okay, he's playing injured. He stinks. He's hitting 215. Like, okay. It sucks that he's injured. It sucks if that's the case. I'm not saying that to make an excuse for him. I'm saying it that as we sit here in the middle of May, it's tough to believe he's going to break out of it when he continues to not hit. Like, at some point, you've got to say, I don't think he's going to break out of it. This could just be a bad season for Bo Bichette. Early in the year, he talked about needing that moment, needing that big moment, wanting that big moment that, of course, I mean, maybe it came in that game against Minnesota when they finally won a game against Minnesota and they won that series on that Thursday night. But outside of that, he has lacked a big hit. He's been awful offensively. And I am declaring on May 15th, maybe you guys got there earlier, but I'm declaring I have zero faith that the back of the baseball card is going to work out for Bo Bichette. And by the way, if it does, and he starts hitting in August when this team is 25 games out of first place, it's going to be like, who cares? What does that mean? But a very frustrating game because, A, when Clay Holmes gave up the three runs to the Yankees and you kind of felt like, oh, crap, they're three runs down on Cam Schlittler. It's a lot different than being three runs down on Keeter Montero. It did feel like the game. It did feel like this offense was going to be completely incapable of coming back and scoring three runs. But think about how the Yankees got those three runs. There's two outs and nobody on. It looks like Clay Holmes is about to get through the third, and we're going to continue to see Holmes and Schlittler match these zeros. And he gives up base hit, base hit, base hit, base hit. Four consecutive hits to, what was it, Ben Rice, Aaron Judge, Cody Bellinger, Jazz Chisholm. And it really took the air out of the sails of all the Met fans that were in the building. So, disappointing performance by Clay. I don't want to pick on him too much, considering we may never see him again. But it goes back to when your pitcher gives up a couple of runs, it feels like your offense has no chance of coming back, despite what happened in the previous days against Detroit. The bullpen, until Craig Kimbrell, I thought mostly did a pretty good job. You know, we saw Austin Warren come in. He did give up a base hit, allowed one inherited runner to score. But after that, kept the game reasonably close. Kimbrell obviously gives up the run. Detour over here. Okay. So the bullpen did, I guess, somewhat okay in not letting the game slip away, especially when you've got Mendoza not using his better relievers, basically saying, hey, it's not punting a game. I know some fans like to call it that. It's saying, hey, I've got to use my lesser relievers because we're down by three runs and the odds of us coming back are low, and I'm not going to use my better relievers, who I've used a lot over the last couple of days, in a situation in which it's very unlikely that I'm actually going to come back and win. So no issue with Mendoza doing that. Let me get to the crowd. This was bad. No other way to put it. I've been to many Mets-Yankee games. I did not go to the Citi Field games a year ago. That's the only year, I think, in my lifetime that I missed Met-Yankee games at home at Shea Stadium or Citi Field because We had our big European vacation. So I've been to a lot of them. I've been at Shea. I've been at City. I've experienced the good. I've experienced the bad. I've seen it all. This may sound hyperbolic. This may sound nuts, but I'm being honest. And look, maybe it's where I sat. Maybe that had something to do with it. Sitting in the left field area. That was as bad a Met Yankee crowd breakdown as I think I've ever seen. It was that bad. I mean, I was sitting in a section where they were doing the roll call and the outfielders were responding. They also tried to do the roll call again in the ninth inning because I don't know. I don't know what the Yankee fans were trying to do, but okay, God bless them. They were showing some enthusiasm in another building. But I'm trying to judge this before the Mets scored runs, before the Yankees scored runs. So, because obviously when a team is scoring runs, the crowd is going to start to sound louder for that team. So I really tried to judge the Met Yankee crowd breakdown before that happened. Just listening to the crowd before the Yankees took the lead. So top of the first inning, bottom of the first inning, kind of on an even playing field. And I think it was like 60-40 Yankees, which, dude, I don't know if I've ever really experienced that in Mets Yankees. Like, it was as bad as I ever remember it. And I guess the response could be, well, why would you be surprised? The Mets are having a bad year. Yankee fans are enthused, I guess, you know, for the most part. They really want to boo Juan Soto, who they're still mad at. But it was a really bad breakdown. And I'm not saying that because the Yankees had control of the game. This was kind of walking through the corridors, walking through the seats before I got to my seats. A ton of Yankee jerseys. Maybe there's just more motivation to show up. But it was, and think about this. For anyone who says, oh, come on, Evan, the Mets suck. You know, that's why people sold their tickets. I'm never going to begrudge anybody for selling their tickets. I sold my tickets, which is why I ended up in the outfield in this game. I just mean there have been many years of Met Yankee baseball. I mean, this thing goes back to 1997. And forget the 90s and the early 2000s when the Subway Series was still juicy, if you will. If you go back to 2011 and 2012 and 2013 and 2014, years where the Mets were down, and the Yankees may not have been championship teams, but they were better, which is what I would describe this, I don't remember it being this bad. I really don't. So, again, maybe it's where I sat. Maybe that's what it is, and it's jading what I heard. But it was a bad, bad scene at Citi Field tonight. And I don't know if it's going to get much better on Saturday and Sunday. And obviously, if you're a Met fan, I'd love to keep the enthusiasm going, but the blows keep coming. The only surprise is usually when the Mets get a brutal injury blow, whether it's Soto's calf or Lindor's calf or Alvarez, it's with a win. This is a rare one where we get the double deucer of a brutal injury along with a loss. So it's just bad. And for anyone that wants to tell me, oh, don't worry, it's early. The sky isn't falling. You got to calm down. Everything's going to be okay. I would love to have what you're smoking. This has felt like a lost season for a few weeks now. And the evidence continues to pile up that we are sitting through 1992 all over again, or 1993 or 2003, whatever year comparison you want to make, that's what we're sitting through. And it's bad. As far as how you replace Clay Holmes, you can go to the farm system. You can go to Weininger, who's pitched very well. And Jonah Tong is not ready to come back up. Jonah Tong's last start was a disaster, so he's clearly not ready. So it's probably Jack Weininger who you kind of look towards. And really, that's all we have as Met fans is looking towards the youth. You know, so it's youth in the rotation. We still get Nolan McLean every 5 days, and hopefully he grows and continues to grow. And then we get Weininger. We see what he can do. But a brutal day. In a season filled with brutal days, we got another one here at Citi Field as the New York Yankees take over our building. They mock us. They scream obscenities at Juan Soto. And there ain't a damn thing we can do about it. You just got to sit there and take it. And that's the other thing. I'm sitting in left field. I'm sitting right behind Juan Soto. He heard it. And I don't know what Juan Soto is going to say after the game, but he heard it from the Yankee fans who are still very bitter about him leaving And look, I don't blame these reporters. I know John Heyman, you know, goes to Juan Soto. What do you think of leaving? And he's got to give a new quote every single time. And I think the quote this time was, hey, there's nothing you could do about it now, which you could totally spin as he's miserable. Juan Soto's a Met, and they need Juan Soto to be great, especially now with this team facing as many injuries as they're facing and the crappiness all around this team. But I'm so sick of that story. I'm sick of the Alonso stories, the Nimmo stories, the Soto stories. This is the team. We have to live with it. And right now, it's bad. So I appreciate you listening, if this was even recorded successfully, because I'm getting mixed signals on the phone situation. But either way, thank you for listening to another depressing and disastrous drop. What's that, Jeff? How long have Yankee fans been mad at Juan Soto?
Yeah.
Since he left. They're bitter about it. And I look, they're in a good place. The Yankees are better than us, so they shouldn't be bitter about it anymore. It's like Knicks fans should get over Kevin Durant picking the Nets. Like, who cares? He's not even on the Nets anymore. So they've been bitter for a while. Anyhow, thank you for listening to a Drive Home We Suck and Our Season Is Cooked edition of the Rico Bronya.
Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.